Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Fouling every way possible. A great night of NBA action and the referees doing their best to insert themselves into the equation.
And we've got the best whistler here at ESPN right on the mic.
Easel. Oh, is that you trying to stake the claim, or am I the Scottie Pippen of whistling, too?
No, you're Michael Jordan. I'm Scottie Pippen.
All right.
I'm Scott Burrell.
We're trying to figure out who the Scottie Pippen of everything is at this point. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbunike. And I think everyone is Scottie Pippen now. I think that's the one thing I've learned in the last couple of days is we can all be Scottie Pippen if we try hard enough.
And that's okay. You're winning still.
Being Scottie
Unless
Pippen,
you're Giannis.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
There's a lot to unpack with that. And so in order to help us do that, we're delighted to be joined on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by our very own Quentin Richardson, former NBA star and now host of the Knuckleheads podcast. You can get wherever you listen to your podcasts. And Q, I got to ask, after last night we heard Giannis compared to Scottie Pippen. Like, is that a bad thing?
Yeah, man. First, thank you guys for having me. I want to congratulate you guys on the new show. It's awesome. You guys are doing an awesome job. But first of all, I feel like this is real blasphemy, making my main man Scottie Pippen sound like that's a bad thing. What is bad about being Scottie Pippen? Please, somebody tell me.
That you need help to turn into Jordan. You need a Jordan. You need help. You can't do it by yourself. You need it like that. The whole we watched The Last Dance, and that was probably not the best look, so the timing doesn't help either, Q.
No. First of all, contrary to popular belief, Michael Jordan himself would tell you that he didn't do it by himself. So I don't know what that means. Scottie Pippen is a top 50 NBA player of all time. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best players ever. And I'm a fellow Chicagoan, and I see nothing absolutely wrong. I wish I could have been a Scottie Pippen in the NBA.
Listen, that makes two of us. I wish I could have been a Scottie Pippen in any facet of life, Q. So I'm with you on that one. But we know another all-time great in Steve Nash, just hired by the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously someone that you're close with and know very well. What is Brooklyn getting in the first-time head coach Steve Nash?
Oh, man, they're getting one of the smartest basketball players. Absolutely the smartest guy I think I've ever played with. And, I mean, he was the true meaning of the extension of a coach and a coach out there on the floor and just having I think I'm well documented in saying that like his special power or special ability was knowing his guys, meaning us as his teammates, knowing when I was needing a shot or when Amari, or just knowing being able to have a temperature of everybody and being able to keep all of those egos in check. So for him to be stepping into coaching, I think it will be seamless. I think obviously he'll have some hurdles to jump and struggles as anybody would journey into something new, but I think he'll be great at it because I think he was somebody who's meant to coach.
Here with Quentin Richardson, former NBA player and also co-host of Knuckleheads. Make sure you listen wherever you get your podcast. Now, Q, I have heard so many glowing things about Steve Nash. It's sort of like Kobe in the sense that he's trying to help all forms of basketball. On the women's side, also on the men's side, he just does it all and has been that mentor. So this did not surprise me when it happened to be Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie. Now, my question to you is, he has such a glowing reputation, and you've seen all aspects of him in the locker room. Will he be able to manage the stars that have such big personalities? Because the personality that I hear is like all sunshine and roses. And, you know, part of the coaching job means you have to be able to crack down on your players.
I think that may be one of the biggest misconceptions about Steve. Like, wow, I'm well documented saying he's one of the best and nicest people I know. That doesn't complete the full spectrum of him. He's one of the most fiercest and grittiest and toughest competitors I've ever played with as well. I mean, he's got images of bloody, broken, twisted up noses and busted eyes while he's still out there playing. Steve is tough. And the thing that people may not know the most about him is that he cares more about winning than probably most people that I've ever played with. He's passionate about trying to win. He wants to do things the right way. And he's fair. And I think his competitiveness is very, very understated.
Now, Q, I was just looking up your podcast, and you've talked about Steve, and there's some really interesting stories there, talking around the 04-05 season where you both had to re-sign. And you said there was a special moment where you realized, talking about putting your teammates first, he put you first in the equation, which is not so normal in the modern landscape. Do you remember that impression that Steve made that sort of was such a big mark on you?
Listen, so when we both signed with Phoenix in 04, I literally didn't know Steve any further than competing against him on the court when he was playing for the Mavs and as I played for the Clippers my first few years in the league. I knew him no further than that. I mean, it was, you know, he was cool. It was there never anything either way, any good or bad. I just knew him as, you know, Steve Nash, whatever. I didn't know him like that. So for me, and my first impression of him was when we had signed our deal and the salary cap came in lower than, you know, the league had expected. And that meant that one of us had to take lower money than we had already previously agreed to. You know how you had the 1 week memoriam once you sign an NBA and DNA, everybody can really sign a deal once you agree to terms first, then you sign a deal. So we sitting there at the table in the Phoenix offices, and Rex Chapman, David Griffin were assistant GMs. Brian Colangelo was the GM at the time. And Jerry was like president or whatever, Jerry Colangelo. So they come in. They had kept us in there. We sitting there watching SportsCenter for a minute. They had come in, like, told us, like, you know, they're about to try and take like a haircut or something. So I'm texting my agent. He's like, no way. Don't do anything. Steve's agent, Bill Duffy, I believe, I think he was on a plane coming to Phoenix. So he had no way to communicate back and forth what was happening. They came in and said what was happening. And Steve was like, before we could even, I didn't even really realize what was going on. I knew that they was like kind of getting it set because they had just told us that a little bit. So I was like, okay. Steve was like, before they could even try and say they was trying to figure things out, Steve was like, listen, just take it offline and give it to him. And me and Keith been waiting here trying to go to the bar and have some drinks. And like, I turned around and listened to him, was like, wait a minute. Like, it was like a moment, right? Because like, the management couldn't believe what was happening. I definitely couldn't believe what was happening. And so I was like, we all were kind of startled. Steve was just like, man, we've been waiting here all this time, and that's what it was about. We kind of go get half drinks and celebrate and get ready to get going. And I was just kind of like, never said a word. I was like, yeah, what he said kind of type thing. But it was one of the craziest and like most selfless things, because I wish I remembered the exact figure. I tried to ask Rex Chapman when we had on the show, and none of us really remember the exact figure, but I know and I can guarantee you it was easily over $1 million. I don't want to go as far as say multi-million, but I know it was easily over $1 million of difference.
That is, I've never heard anything like that anywhere else in sports, let alone in a situation like that inside the same room. I don't care how much money you made, $1 million is a lot of bleeping
money. That is
money.
What you call, Q, exactly. A real one, exactly. Back in the day.
From that point on, I knew that anybody that tried to touch Stevie, I would take him out for him.
There we go. That energy.
I can say that is how you bring people together. Follow him on Twitter, @QRich. Check out Knuckleheads wherever you get your podcast. Q, we appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Q.
All right. Thanks for having me, man. Keep doing the good work.
Absolutely, man. Will do. That's insane. Sitting in that same... I can't imagine how shocked the front office was.
They're like, wait, hold on. You're cool with him just taking a mill? Like, that's no big deal. You're not going to consult your agent? Like, there's no service? And I bet you his agent the whole time is like, oh, sleeping on the fly. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
I mean,
yeah, that's
we're
a
trying
real
to go
one.
Get drinks after. His agent is probably like, you know, I make money off that too, right? I haven't.
He's like, can we just get this done so we can go kick it at the bar? $1 million here or there, like, you know. But that's Steve Nash, and that's the reputation, you know, and that's what you hear, the positive things that he has done, the selfless things that he's done. And it's in his nature because he's a point guard. Like, he's used to giving the ball up, giving himself up for the glory of others. So it's awesome.
And we'll see how pervasive that can become in that Nets locker room. Again, Steve Nash, now the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets there, with all the expectations going in to this upcoming season with Kyrie, KD, and a whole lot more in that spot. All right, coming up next, we get a little one-and-done action here. The transparency or lack of going on in college sports right now and why it needs to change. That's next. It's Jhené Engel Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Jhené Engel Jr., the podcast.
Jhené Engel Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance. Guest joined us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Our thanks to Quinn Richardson joining us in that last segment. But we got big-time news in the last break. I am jazzed right now.
Wait, what happened?
Listen, it has nothing to do with some of the new COVID testing supplies that are coming the way of the Pac-12. We'll get to that in a second. Or any of the other news. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix out of his way, out on the way, out, excuse me, from Dallas that might open things up. Chinna Igwumike is committed to watching The Bachelorette with me this season. I am very excited.
I'm so excited. I'm ready to make full commitments to not only football, you guys. I'm falling in love with football, but also to The Bachelor, you know, because I feel like it's necessary based on our relationship. Like, there's going to be nights where you're going to be up watching games. You're making that commitment to me. I'm going to make that commitment to you watching The Bachelor as well.
Monday nights all fall just got more exciting. I don't know if you heard, Chinna, it's supposed to be the most shocking, controversial season ever.
I feel like I hear that every year.
You do, because every year is the most shocking and controversial season yet. But this year, we're going to get two Bachelorettes this season, Claire Crawley and Tayshia. It's going to be really dramatic. So I'm excited to have you along for the ride. You haven't watched before, have you?
I've watched a couple of times, but I haven't watched in a while. Fun fact, my sister was in a Bachelorette episode, Andy Dorfman.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went to Mohegan Sun and played against a couple of WNBA players. And, you know, my sister has done some amazing things, WNBA championship, MVP and stuff. No one hit her up more than when she was on The Bachelorette.
It is like, amazing. That crossover into true pop culture is a wild one. So,
and wow. Now my mission is to get you to be a bachelor. That's my goal now. I'm going to try to campaign for you to be on the show.
I was supposed to be, and this is back when we were doing the morning show, part of a local traveling bachelor that
no,
was coming
no, no, no,
around.
No, we went national. We went national. You know, you and I, we were local for a while. We've now got the mic. We're national. We're going to keep that same energy, and you're going to be national.
All right, you know what? I would probably be bad in a one and done in that situation. Let's go to the one and done in this situation and get me the hell away from that. Cliff.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Chinna, who you got for us today?
All right. A lot of these NBA playoff games have come down to the wire in my Kanye voice. One team, unfortunately, will always come up short, or should I say Dort. Lugens Dort has been one of the most fascinating stories of the bubble, a rookie undrafted free agent from Canada who started in the G League but found a place in the Thunder lineup only in January. He walked into the playoffs with the extremely tall task of guarding the league's most formidable offensive threat and scorer in the open court, James Harden. So this was a two-way rookie versus a 8-time All-Star, 3-time scoring champ, and MVP in James Harden. While most people would say barbecue chicken when hearing of such a lineup and matchup, instead, Dort started cooking himself, especially defensively. But on offense, it was a completely different case. He was that circled player on the scouting report. Guard everyone else and let him beat us type of guy. And guess what? He almost did that. Game 7, it became a real Cinderella story. He held James Harden to 4 total field goals while having himself 18 points in the first half and finishing with 30 points. And a fitting ending where David was loading his slingshot versus Goliath, but Goliath got the best of him on the final shot. Now the Rockets, they advance, but the biggest winner here may not have been who we thought would be going into the series. Most points by an undrafted rookie in a Game 7 in NBA history. Most in Game 7 by a player age 21 or younger in postseason history as well. Lou Dort is currently making over $150,000. You love seeing a player like Lou Dort bet on himself, and that bet has paid off and doesn't fall Dort short.
This is Dort Center. Let's go. I'm here for every single Dort pun. Masterfully done.
Thank you, sir.
It is beautiful. Love seeing Lou Dort out there. Love seeing guys take advantage of the big stage like that. And doing that on the professional level has been a lot easier because of all the ways that the NBA and these other pro leagues have handled COVID testing. Where I want to go in this is back to college. And unfortunately, it seems like every time we do one and done, it's me having to remind everybody, hey, by the way, college football dealing with some things in this process. And there was a story posted on ESPN.com, an incredible job by some of our colleagues, talking about this in response to a series of questions that ESPN sent out about COVID-19 testing to the 65 Power 5 schools. Almost half of those 65 schools declined to share data about how many positive tests their programs have had to date. Now, there's a lot of room in the middle. It's not just binary, no information or all information, although we have seen programs like Clemson, Missouri, Oklahoma responding with all that information. It blurs the lines because this is what happens all the time in college football. A sport I love so dearly, a sport I care about so much, has to realize that sharing is caring in this situation if you want to see only the not only the health of the sport, but the health of the players involved going forward on all of this. Transparency with this information, playing with the cards up when it comes to a global pandemic is long overdue. We've seen these other leagues have success because they're centralized, because there's one voice, there's a process that involves the players. And instead, what we see in college sports and in college football this fall, fractures. Fragments, different protocols, different ways of going about and disclosing this information in a way that's counterproductive. We are all more when we know more. And in this situation, this information at the beginning, when we're learning so much about myocarditis, about the effects that this has on all bodies, let alone the bodies of athletes, right now having that information at the forefront needs to be a bigger, better, and more transparent part of the conversation when it comes to college football. Self snaps.
You dropped a bar, sir. What? We are all more when we know more.
That's the frustrating part.
That is a show tagline right there.
That should be.
We are more when we know more.
We need that on a shirt, the Chinay Angola Jr. shirt. We are all more when we know more. And listen, as a Stanford Cardinal alum, as a Notre Dame alum, that feels like it's right on brand with the
nerd culture. For sure,
nerd
nation, nerdy. And speaking of nerds, you know, I'm taking all requests for, or at least suggestions for what my fantasy football team name should be. And one of my favorite names so far was Nerdy Birds.
Oh, I like that one.
There's also like Chinny Chinny Bang Bang, Chinay Chinay Bang Bang. There's a couple of good ones out there floating. At Chinay321, keep hitting me with them. And what's your name going to be?
So I am right now in two leagues. I am going by Ham Newton and Childish Hambino. Really leaning into
Ham Newton. I've gotten a lot of really good ones.
Yeah, those are probably not really good on my part, but we're working with what we got. By the way, speaking of your alma mater and college athletics, and again, keep flooding Chinay's timeline, Chinay321, with great fantasy team names, because we're going to have some show-on-show battles coming up here with Spain and Fitz, who are organizing all of this in the evenings after us. We're going to have a show bet between the two of us, but if you're looking at the future of the Pac-12, Adam Rittenberg, our great ESPN college football reporter, with some great news. The Pac-12 commissioner, Larry Scott, says that QuidelCorp rapid tests for COVID-19 are now going to be a part. They have signed on with them going forward here, and those can be done in athletic training rooms with results in as quick as 15 minutes, a huge change for the league that can get all of this in place for the athletes. He said the price of that's going to be confidential, but notes that the Pac-12 could resume preparation and competition right away. It couldn't because of public health restrictions in California and Oregon. Half of the league's members essentially couldn't practice right now for other reasons, but he says that Larry Scott remains in close contact with Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren and says this could be a high priority for the leagues to align their season with this now, the rapid testing that's becoming available. And great news, not only for the future of college football that so many people have focused on, Chinay, but for the winter sports, college basketball season and others getting ready to get going.
This is fantastic news. And you know, it's funny, when you said that the price of this is going to be confidential, it sort of takes me back to not too long ago, about a week ago, I took a 15-minute rapid response coronavirus test. And they were talking the whole time about, oh, this thing expensive. Like, do you know how much money it costs? So it is going to be expensive, but I think that price is worth it if it allows the athletes to go out there and perform and also generate for their universities, because that's what really matters, to get those scholarships from different sports back on the table. Because, again, you mentioned Stanford. Stanford, I was so heartbroken when they cut 11 sports. So if they take this investment, hopefully the investment will pay off.
It's going to be an investment in the health and safety of players going forward, because we've seen daily testing inside the NBA bubble, the daily testing that looks likely to continue in the NFL that's helped them mitigate so much of this, could be a huge part of the process going forward for all college athletics.
Shout out to Zach Banner with that information drop.
Yeah.
The daily testing.
Big time info from the big man in Pittsburgh. All right, coming up next, we got to look back to the question. It's not Scottie Pippen, but Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. How much trouble are they in after what we saw against the Heat last night? We'll get to that next. It's Chinay Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chinay Angola Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the show. Pennzoil Performance Line. And Chinay, we had big news today, Steve Nash, announces the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, Sean Marks. You can check out the interview with our own Adrian Wojnarowski on the Woj Pod, talking about that hiring and what it means going forward. But looking backward, last night was a bit of a doozy, and it has launched a crusade to find out who Scottie Pippen really is, as Giannis and the Bucks fell short against the Miami Heat. They're now down 0-2, and it had a lot of people, our own Richard Jefferson and others, questioning, can Giannis be the A1 right now? Is he ready for that at this point in his career?
So let's break it down, because we had Quentin Richardson on, and he basically was like, Scottie Pippen should not be used in a derogatory fashion because everyone wants to be like Scottie. Like, not everyone can be Michael, greatest of all time, arguably, or like LeBron, if you're talking about players in that category. Those are like two, and the greatest list is why like 10. So Scottie, a guy that won multiple championships, is a guy that we should all aspire to. But let's run them receipts, because Richard Jefferson, the way that he applied it was basically in a way that's like, oh, Giannis can't be that guy that leads the team, can't be that number one option, can't be that guy that brings the championship. He needs someone else to help show him the way. So in all fairness, this is what Richard Jefferson was basically implying. And then Scottie sort of clapped back at, which I really enjoy, because nothing is better than an OG clapback in real time. The reality here is that Giannis is still trying to find his way in the NBA. While he has a dominant game, especially in the NBA regular season, where when you're getting scouted, it's not so to the highest degree when you're playing 3 games and 4 days, 5 games and 7 days, 8 days. You can't go and build the wall like I've loved how you've said, like build this wall on the free throw line to sort of create this huge game plan to slow him down. It's sort of like you're just trying to free flow and work on what you need to work on as a team. But in the playoffs, in a series, you can really get at the nitty gritty. And this nitty-gritty is something that Giannis sort of has this criticism of, you know, we criticize him in the sense that, okay, it's not like he can defeat the scouting report, and we haven't seen it. We didn't see it last year. We're not seeing it so far this year. You're seeing a team that is defensive-minded, may not be, you know, as much in the talent department as Giannis, but they have this will to sort of use this game plan to slow him down. So if you are a top talent in the NBA, this game plan should not slow you down. They should be worried about you. Instead, you're worried more so about them. And the dynamic is flipped, and that's why we have the 1-2 conversation. I still think Giannis will figure it out. The question is, will he figure it out in this series or in the future? And if you're going to be an MVP, the hope is that it's this series.
Well, and I think that's the interesting part about this. It's Shenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio is looking at when he figures that out, because we've done this before. Like, we had a lot of these same questions about LeBron James during the stint in Cleveland, and did it not end up being more of an indictment on the rest of the team, the organization, in a way that ultimately is going to hurt them on this? Like, listen, Chris Middleton is a great player. We enjoy Chris Middleton, whichever Lopi, I think, are both Lopi there, one of the Lopez's.
They're both there at home in Disney World, where they have a home there, by the way. I think it's Brooke that has a home. So they're comfy.
So you've got them, you've got White, Dante, Pat, like all these guys are great additions, but you look at what tends to be the currency of the modern NBA are these groupings of stars, and you say, is that ultimately going to be the thing that holds them back? And could this be enough of a frustrator and a disruptor? Because it's one thing when it's Kawhi Leonard that we're going to get to last year doing it with the Raptors. It's another when it's the Jimmy Butler-led Miami Heat team.
It's unfair to criticize Giannis in the respect that we're not in that day and age where one player can sort of transform a team by themselves. Like, what we discovered with Michael Jordan is that bringing on Scottie brought on another star in the making, right? But if Michael was by himself, you know, we heard it from him best. Like, when you mentioned me, mentioned Scottie Pippen, that guy was so important to what I did. And it's not me, it's we when it comes to this Bulls dynasty. And so the nature of the NBA now, and we saw that with LeBron. LeBron, even as talented as he was, even back then in the early Cleveland days and still is, he couldn't do it by himself. He had to learn from others. And I guess that's what Richard kind of was implying, that like maybe it's too hard to do by yourself, even though I think we have this superhuman talent attributed to Giannis Antetokounmpo. And that's the modern NBA. You look at the Warriors, you look at multiple players, LeBron and AD, you look at Kawhi and Paul George, they're teamed up. So to say that he's not a number one just because he's really doing it for the most part by himself, Chris Middleton is talented, but he also was just a first-time All-Star this year. It's not fair to say the same thing about Giannis, because you look around the league, today we're talking about Steve Nash, KD and Kyrie, stars. We're talking about Gordon Hayward with him being out, but still Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Kemba Walker, stars together. Giannis has a heavy load that he's lifting, and he's done a really great job lifting it. I think we have the expectation now for him, because of the awards that are coming, that, hey, you should be able to do this by yourself. But the nature of the NBA is it's not really like that game anymore.
Well, and it's weird, too, that Scottie Pippen's here being used as sort of a proxy for Robin in the Batman-Robin thing, right? Like, there's part of that that feels disrespectful and super binary in this conversation in a way that's probably not fair to anyone involved. Now, a bit of breaking news that we saw here, and I believe our own Mark Spears reported this, that Ja Morant wins NBA Rookie of the Year, according to now multiple ESPN reports. How about this, Chiney? Does this shock you at all?
Okay.
Kendrick Nunn came in second. Zion finished third. Zion only received one first place vote. Ja Morant received the other 99.
I'm curious who the vote is for the one vote, but yeah, that does surprise me, and this is what it tells me. They're looking for the entirety of the season, like the entirety of the duration in which Kendrick Nunn came in and was like, a, you know, he's one of the rookie in the vets. I think he's like probably 25, 26. And Ja, you know, obviously he played the entire season and put them on the map. So it doesn't surprise me that Ja won. Ja deserved to win, despite what, I don't know if I'm going to expose Cliff or, you know, our DJ ones and twos, our producer, who might have a different take that, like, maybe it was a closer race than most people thought. That's why maybe we're shocked at one vote. But yeah, Ja deserved Rookie of the Year. This is rightfully so. What he did, what he was able to do, especially with Memphis, given especially losing Jaren Jackson Jr. towards the end in the bubble, he still made that a competitive, I guess, final push, but with the last few games. But yeah, Ja was the Rookie of the Year, and the voters looked to the body of work, not just the body of Zion.
The body of Zion, one that got a lot of attention over the course of the offseason. There were those thirst trappy, slim down pictures, and then we get to the bubble, and you know, he's still a larger man, which is fine, and we support around here. There's no body shaming on Chiney
nope,
Angola Jr.
Not at all.
Not here, not never. So there you have it, the announcement from the bubble. Ja Morant, NBA Rookie of the Year, according to multiple sources. Kendrick Nunn in second, and Zion in third. Coming up next, we'll keep that same energy and figure out if any of them are Scottie Pippen. That's all coming up. It's Chiney Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney Angola Jr., the podcast.
Angola Jr. reminding you to tune in to Bloodlines, a three-part podcast written and told by ESPN's Wright Thompson that examines the world of thoroughbred horse racing. Download, subscribe, and review Bloodlines, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. And hell, while you're there, download, subscribe, rate, and review the Chiney Angola Jr. podcast.
Do it now.
If you haven't, what are you doing? Figure
right?
it out. Love yourself yeah. enough to do that one. Because that's what we're about around here, making sure that we get everyone everywhere on all platforms right now. Chiney is currently on Twitter on all platforms reading about some guy drinking his own urine.
Oh my gosh, why are you spilling the tea, literally? That's gross.
Listen, you read it. I'm just here listening and observing. We like to keep that same energy both in private and on the show. So
blame Booty Gross.
Courtesy of our own John Puchagross on the Twitter feed here. Let's keep that same energy rolling on the show here, Cliff. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney Angola Jr.
All right, Chiney, so we both love Charles Barkley, right?
We love him dearly.
Charles Barkley has been in his bag this postseason. He's got the brooms out. He's had the takes out. Charles Barkley has had a lot to say in the playoffs so far. Here's just a little clip about Charles Barkley getting ready to preview some upcoming matchups in the NBA.
When we started, we knew a year ago it was going to come down to the Lakers and the Clippers, and I've seen nothing the last 2 weeks that's made me think anything differently.
Oh, really? Like, this isn't even trying to be cute. The Stugatz is so strong in Charles Barkley, I'm surprised he's not on that soundbite with him, because what we had from Charles Barkley not all that long ago, a direct quote: if the Portland Trailblazers get in the playoffs, they will beat the Los Angeles Clippers in the first round. And if the Portland Trailblazers win tonight, they're going to sweep the Lakers.
Sir Charles. Look, I think he's trying to make us feel like, oh, y'all don't remember what I was saying back then. I'm going to rewrite history right now. You heard it first.
It's impressive. Is Charles Barkley just Stugatz with an athletic career, like a Hall of Fame athletic career? Obviously, no disrespect to what Stugatz did at Clark, was a lacrosse player. Obviously, an incredible, incredible athlete in his own right.
I see some parallels.
No doubt. The takes are all piping hot there.
I love it, though. You mentioned brooms. Yes, he had the broom out after Portland won a game, but then what happened to that broom? Snap, crackle, and pop.
Tough one there. Yeah. Hate to see it. Love to see this one here. Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. The NFL sent out a statement. Brian McCarthy, the NFL's PR, head of PR in the league office, sent out a statement in conjunction with the NFL PA, on the social justice initiatives that the league would be a part of. And one of those included that all NFL, NFLPA, and club facilities will be closed on Tuesday, November 3rd to ensure that every member of the NFL family has the opportunity to exercise the precious right to vote. Chenea, as someone who's involved with More Than a Vote, the group that LeBron James and others came together and started this offseason, has to be something pretty cool to see the NFL family getting in on the action.
Love it. Keep that same energy. We've seen, especially in the NBA, a lot of the arenas now, I think all of the arenas turn into voting platforms for people to go and vote in their communities, which is nice because these places are usually right in the heart of communities, and those communities are the communities that, I said communities about 50 times, that the players tend to care about, especially, you know, just right inner city. So this is important. And I love this more so just because voting matters. Voting really does matter. We all have different opinions, but at the end of the day, it's your representation to the government, to the world. So vote. Everyone go and vote. It's how you create the change that you would like to see. And I think that every, you know, corporate environment that can should allow its employees to vote. Like, it's a sacrifice. People have to make a decision whether they go to work and get paid or they go and do their civic duty. And so if you can find a mechanism, this is great. And I think the NFL is doing the right thing here.
That statement also said in the days leading up to the election, they'll continue to sponsor nonpartisan educational programs to ensure that players, staff, and families know how to register, how to obtain absentee voting material, and are able to vote. And will support efforts in their communities to encourage people to vote, including by working with state officials to establish polling places at those stadiums, identify safe and appropriate ways in which members of the NFL family can assist in all of that. So great news to see from the NFL. That is truly the energy that we want to see kept. But now we get to get petty.
Oh gosh, here we go. What we got?
This one lit me up like a Christmas tree. This is almost just before we came on the show. Notre Dame football, famously going to be part of the ACC this season for the sport of football, is a part of the ACC and every other sport on campus, with the exception, I believe, of men's hockey. We know it's going to be a one-year foray. I've said it's kind of like our study abroad year. Chenea, you know, you go out, you get some nice stories, you tell everyone about it even when they don't ask after the fact. The Notre Dame football account tweeted out earlier today a picture of, in the stadium, in Notre Dame Stadium, them spray painting the ACC logo onto the field with the caption, "Felt cute, might delete next year."
Petty! I'm here for it. Stanford, you have 24 hours to respond.
Stanford, it's not too late to get into the action. You just got good news about testing and everything going forward there. Let the people hear it right now.
Yo, that reminds me. I love these little battles. We talk about verses, but anytime someone does something funny on social media, it's sort of like, I remember Ayesha Curry and Steph Curry's beautiful daughters that were dancing to Black is King, you know, that whole Beyonce set. They said, "Bow Wow, your daughter has 24 hours to respond." I love those things.
Oh, for the kids, obviously.
We love the kids. Kid-friendly zone here.
Chenea and Golic Jr. love the kids. No doubt about that. All right, and last one here, Chenea, as we look back, your Houston Rockets got the dub last night against Oklahoma City. It was a great moment. We all really appreciated James Harden somehow winning with defense, which is not a thing I expected to say today. I didn't expect to say this either. The last 2.6 seconds of the Houston Rockets-Oklahoma City Thunder game last night took 14 minutes. Chenea, what are we doing?
Don't keep that same energy. That's too much. That's enough time for you to get cold and then you get a brick. Like, you want to minimize that, but then again, you want to get it right. But yeah, I was so nervous. I called about everybody in my family within that 14. Yo, watch the game. You see what's happening? What's going to happen? All this stuff.
You had time to do all that. I had time to figure out who was going to be Scottie Pippen in that meantime. Like, I read War and Peace. I found out more about Lou Dort. Like, you could do all that in that time period.
I watched all the seasons of Game of Thrones.
You caught up on the entire Marvel comic book universe movie set up there?
Pretty much.
You still haven't done that, have you?
No, I haven't done it. We've got Chinny Chin Chins. We've got Junior Stymie. We've got Daughters of Okoye. Shout out to the Black Panther. These are all great names that are going for my first fantasy football league. And we have to. Chenea and Golic Jr. will have to beat Spain and Fitz. Like, it's a must. How do I get the first pick? Can you tell me? Like, how do I ensure that I get the first pick?
We can work on that and make that happen for you. That's not actually possible, but I'm going to work on it. You know what? You have a chance to work on that next, because the commish, Sarah Spain and Jason Fitz, are coming up next on Spain and Fitz. You're going to be a guest with them at 7:15 on that show, so why don't you lobby for that? Why don't you tell Sarah this is how it's going to go this year? Walk right up to the commish and let her know you're getting the number one pick.
Sarah Spain, I'm a number one draft pick. I deserve a number one NFL Fantasy League pick. Okay, ooh. Keep that same energy, sis.
We want to roll into that. It's about to get too damn Friday tomorrow with a big-time surprise.
Big
catch
surprise.
Janae on Spain and Fitz next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.